Welcome to Discover Your Talent, Do What You Love, number 224. I'm creator and host, Don Hutchison. Every day I interview someone from around the world who has discovered his talents to do work he loves to create a life of success, satisfaction, and freedom. Today I'm delighted to bring you our featured guest, Kavit Haria. Welcome, Kavit.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. Kavit, are you using your talents doing work that you love?
I am.
Alrighty, we want to hear the whole story. Kavit Haria started his first online business in 2005, selling marketing education to musicians. After failure, he finally learned to build a thriving online business using intricate and automated sales and marketing funnels that build an email list of over 100,000 musicians and generated over $1 million in sales per year. In 2008, he founded Insider Internet Success, his company through which he helps people discover winning, profitable business ideas and set up automated marketing and sales funnels. He blogs weekly at insiderinternetsuccess.com, writes an inspiring email to 15,000 business owners daily, and has taught at seminars and conferences in the UK, America, and Australia over the last 6 years. Well, Kavit, that's a pithy summary of your career. Tell our listeners what you're doing now that has you engaged and excited, if you would.
Yeah, thanks for that colorful introduction. I basically today get up really excited to do the one thing that I think drives me really, it creates a lot of joy in my life. And that is that I find a lot of people have talent, skills, interests, hobbies, product, services that they've conjured up or created or found simply because they're have taken lessons from their life or learnings from their life, or they've just found something that's really, truly benefited them, that they know that if they share it with the world, it'll benefit others as well. So I help those people put together the right business strategies, funnels, sales processes to really get their message and their work out there into the world. And so every single day, using the company that I've created as a vehicle to drive my value, I've put together a program called Automated Business System that really helps people take their ideas and launch them. And we do all the work to help people launch it because I find that everyone's got great ideas, but they struggle with things like implementation, technical know-how, not knowing how to put a site together, not knowing how to actually and what to actually have in place to actually take something to the world. So we take care of all of those things for them so they can really shine doing what they like to do and love to do the most. So ultimately, they build freedom for themselves as well. So I get up every day and work on projects like that.
Oh, that's fantastic. Fantastic. You know, we've studied this internet thing a long time too, and it looks when you take a webinar, you listen to an expert talk about funnels and content marketing and inbound marketing and email nurturing and all those things. You say, oh, yeah, that's I can do that. Then you get into the intricacies of it, and it's like brain surgery. It's astonishingly complicated. So I'm not surprised that you have built such a thriving business because the average intelligent, motivated entrepreneur couldn't possibly devote the time to what you do.
Well, an entrepreneur also doesn't get in to do it because they want a job. They get in to do it because they feel like, first of all, they want freedom in their own lives. But at the same time, they also want to do something meaningful. I don't really encounter people that just want to get online to make a quick buck and then don't really care about how the other people feel.
Right.
Maybe I just don't attract those people. I don't know. I don't see them. The people I see are people that really want to add value to somebody else's life. And obviously, Zig Ziglar says that you can get out of everything you want in life if you just help enough other people do that for others. You help enough other people get what they want, essentially.
Yes.
And so like that's a big part of what I believe. And I feel like there's so many people out there with talents and skills. And interestingly, this is called a talent show, as it were. So many people have these talents that they just don't utilize. And I feel like we all live these magnificent lives, which could be so much more greater than good and better than good, simply because if we untapped and opened up who we really were and shared what we have to share, and we all just like live 1% mediocrity.
Yes, we couldn't say it better ourselves. You're all over the concept of the show. As you know, and by the way, I'm sure that you have the clients you have because of your positive energy and the fact that you do attract them. So congratulations on that. Everyone's life journey is composed of a series of turning points. This has been studied for decades and decades. Some call them passages. And at these times, we're each faced with obstacles and opportunities and choices that determine the next 4 or 5 years of our lives. Sometimes we make the best decisions. Sometimes we learn from our mistakes. So take us back, if you would, please, into the backstory of Kavit Haria and tell us how you got here. Start as far back as you want to go.
Wow. I'll tell you a little bit about my background just very quickly, just to give a little bit of an idea.
Take your time.
I'm Indian, as it were. So,
yes.
But I'm born in the UK.
Okay.
And my parents are born in Africa, in Kenya specifically.
Okay.
And their parents are born in India.
Okay.
The first time I ever went to India to visit, because I don't really have family there, when I was 11. And then again after that, I think when I was like 21 or 22. So those were the initial times I went to India to really explore it. And I find it to be a fascinating country. Just as a tangent now, I find it to be an extremely amazing place that has every kind of season, every kind of nature, every kind of person, every kind of language, every single thing you could ever think, and food, of course, you could ever think about is there. So I'm very much in love with that place, even though I'm not really connected to that place apart from, I guess, my origin in some sense being Indian.
What towns do you like in India? Where do you spend your time where'd you go?
Well, now I have found myself to believe in a spiritual teacher there. So I connect very closely to a spirituality called Jainism. And Jainism is all about essentially finding your soul and releasing yourself from the shackles of bondage that we all face as human beings.
Yes.
So I spent a lot of time in an ashram in Gujarat, which is in the west. But I have traveled pretty much the whole length of India and the whole width of India, just because it's been a passion of mine.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I started also learning an instrument when I was younger, an Indian instrument, because it's part of the culture. And generally, I come from a background where my parents have taught me to work very hard to finish my education, to study and not deviate and study business, because business would really, being an Indian, I guess, help you achieve the things that you really wanted to, but at the same time, study something that's non-business because it's less risky. So for example, go be a doctor or an accountant because you'll have a steady job for life and not really have to worry about money. All those kind of things I've been brought up to believe and understand. But also when I was younger, I started to learn an instrument called the tabla. Now the tabla is a North Indian drum. You play it with your fingers as opposed to like the bongos and the congas, which you play with your palms. It's actually the world's most difficult percussion instrument to learn. They say that if you can play that, you can play any other percussion instrument.
How do you spell that, Kevin? The tabla?
T-A-B-L-A.
Tabla. Oh, just like it sounds. Okay.
Right. Yeah. And I've been learning it ever since, playing it ever since. I wanted to become a professional tabla player. Or even around 1999, 2000, I wanted to become a professional tabla player. So growing up in the UK, I've obviously listened to all kinds of music. I've not just listened to Indian music. I've listened to jazz, pop, R&B. My whole upbringing, as it were, was here for a period of time. So I have listened to that kind of music. And I really thought, well, I could play this Indian instrument that is supposed to be played with Indian music, I guess, but play it with this kind of music and try to mix the East and the West and bring together some new kinds of styles that I think would be really fascinating. So I was obsessed with that for years. Of course, I continued my education. At the same time, I went to university. I studied genetics at university, which again brings a whole new angle to what it is that I do. I was really enthusiastic about genetics for a while, very passionate about it.
What was the catalyst of that? I'm totally fascinated with that.
Great question. We're three siblings, you know, me and two other brothers. And one of my younger brothers, I'm the eldest, but one of my younger brothers has 47 chromosomes, which I think is fascinating. Like it makes him extremely special and extremely quite an amazing character. The general human being has 46 chromosomes in every single cell.
Okay.
And he has, so when just natural cell proliferation means that you have 46 chromosomes. And some people have 47. People that have various different, you know, upbringings for whatever reason have 47, not upbringings, but genetic issues have 47 chromosomes. Now, sometimes some chromosomes can lead to quite obvious symptoms in a person, and sometimes they don't. And the one that my brother has, simply, you look at him, you can't see any difference whatsoever. But he's so skilled at hands-on work, like being a mechanic or a carpenter or an electrician, but he's not so skilled and not so powerful at doing things that require mental arithmetic or good English or good science and understanding and learning and stuff like that.
So he's highly structural.
Extremely, which I think is such a fascinating talent in today's age where most people who are so enthusiastic about computers and digital work and stuff are just rubbish at doing structural work.
Yes, exactly.
So yeah, I mean, that was one of the major reasons. I wanted to find out what the hell was going on because our parents were told by doctors and so forth that he would struggle with learning and he would be this bad and he would not, you know, be very well developed and stuff like that, which ultimately ended up being rubbish. And I was really passionate about the idea of how you could really tell somebody that without giving them enough encouragement to really work on that person's environment to make him and give him what he needs to grow as a better person.
How is he using those innate structural talents now? What's he doing?
That's his profession.
Okay.
And he's doing incredibly well at it.
Wow.
You know, my other brother and myself are completely entrepreneurial and digital and do things online and do other creative type works. We're both musicians also. This guy isn't. He is completely in love with music, but he's not a musician. But he's completely in love with DIY and creating stuff and fixing things that it's just unbelievable how quick he learns, how fast he puts things together, how he breaks things and puts it together just for the sake of doing it because he loves it.
Wow. You know? Fabulous.
Yeah, really amazing. So I studied genetics for 3 years at university. I always believe, and now from a lot of the learning that I've done, that if you have a passion but you don't have purpose behind it, your passion comes and goes.
Yes.
You change things, you change passions a lot. So that was one of my passions, but I had no purpose behind it. I always felt that I would maybe become a forensic scientist or something, but yeah, it just never happened. And the reason it never happened is because I got pulled into my music career. I started to meet musicians to play with. I started to perform regularly. I played with some interesting names, Paul McCartney, Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin.
Wow.
With a lot of different people like that. And there was a time when I was gigging quite a lot for several years. And this was just before I went to university, through university. And I realized that I had a talent here of actually getting a lot of exposure quickly with my music, and also getting the right gigs to be able to perform. And when the doors opened for those two things, I would also get recording opportunities. So that one skill that I developed from a very early age that I honed and practiced, as it were, helped me out in many ways because it became one of the early careers that I had. And at the same time, what I thought was really fascinating is the reason I became successful with my music in a short period of time was because another music mentor had told me that, look, every creative person out there wants to be successful, and they all have the innate potential to be successful, but they struggle because they don't want to actually put themselves out in front and say, hey, this is who I am and this is what I do. In other words, they just don't want to do the marketing. They just want to sit there and paint or draw and sing or create music and hope that the world comes to find them. And we all know that just doesn't happen.
No.
There's too many people in the world to be able for us to say, this is what I do. I mean, for us to just sit back and do our thing in our four walls, as it were, and hope that somebody's going to come and peek and listen to us. We're just never going to be able to grow that fast. And so I took what he said about marketing and started learning everything I could about marketing, which is what I put into my music career to grow my own music career.
What are some of the modalities that you used early on? You clearly had the instinct for it. You clearly had the understanding conceptually and executionally of how to do this. But what was the trigger that got you to say, well, wait a minute, I can do this marketing tactic and this will build awareness and drive business or get me gigs? What was that? What book did you read? What person?
I wanted to do this music thing for 6 months.
Okay.
And I told my parents that, yeah, I'm going to do this full time. If it doesn't work in 6 months, I'm going to go back and do something else. And in that 6 months, I really, really struggled. It was coming up to the fifth month, at which point I had to find another way, which is how I came across this music mentor. And I read a lot of the books that he had written himself online about how to promote it. And then I started to create my own little community. Okay. I don't know if it's the answer to your question, but
yes,
the most important thing at that time was MySpace was huge for me.
Yeah, okay.
MySpace, which is, you know, I don't know what it's doing right now, but MySpace is where a lot of musicians used to hang out. There were also music forums where I could meet other musicians. I started to become active and show myself and show my presence and talk, create little clips about how I could play and put those online so people could hear the sounds of my instrument and what I wanted to create. And I started to open some doors, of course, until the snowball effect happens, which always happens with everything. But, you know, if you want something, you got to work for it. And the moment you start working for it, other things start to show up. It's been an experience of mine for the whole of my life so far.
It's interesting you mentioned MySpace, because MySpace could have, with a couple of strategic or tactical turns, been the first Facebook, and it just never quite did it.
Well, yeah, I think it started to change, though, once it was sold to News Corp. You know, before then, everything seemed to be going well. It was the biggest thing at that time. And then they sold it for $500 million or whatever. And I don't know. I don't think News Corp managed to keep up with the trends.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay. So because of the music mentor, you put an afterburner on your own music career. And then when did the light bulb go off in your head to say, there's a big market here?
Yeah, I had a lot of my musician friends asking me, well, how did I get those gigs? What was I doing to get those gigs? What was I doing to get exposure? How did I build this massive MySpace community? You know, how am I so active on forums and stuff like that? Of course, it all takes time. But apart from that, I would sit down with all these friends and talk to them one by one and just show them, here's how I've done it. And you can just take the same idea and copy it. And it worked for many of them. But I also realized that I spent a huge amount of time doing that, like shockingly huge amount of time sitting down and explaining these things. And if you're not fast and intuitive, and I'm not saying that I'm extremely fast, but or maybe I am, but if you're not fast and intuitive, sometimes it takes a while to grasp some difficult concepts.
Yes.
Especially because marketing doesn't just mix with music. You have to learn and to be able to open up to these skills.
Exactly.
And so the amount of time I spent made me realize that there's got to be a better way of doing this because there's people interested. And a different friend of mine was creating websites, selling books on how to cure diabetes naturally, how to cure acne naturally, how to cure lupus naturally, and all sorts of interesting things. Mm. And I thought, well, I could use exactly the same model. So I talked to him a little bit about it. And then I decided to sit up and write my first little guide on how to promote your music online. And I called it the 49 ways to promote your music on the internet.
That's a great headline.
Yeah, well, that was the first one. It took me 2 days to put it online, to write it, as it were. I put it on a website. I bought a website. I went to the library to buy like the dummies guides on how to put together websites. I learned HTML. I used a program called Dreamweaver. I set up my first website in 2004, and I put the book up there, and people would go there and download it. And then I realized that I was missing a trick because, well, they're getting it for free and walking away, and I'm not getting anything out of it. So I learned about mailing lists and captured, you know, I used a software at that time called Constant Contact.
Of course.
I signed up to them, created a form, put that form on my website, started to get a series of people sign up for it, which was great. I went to music forums. I started telling people that, hey, I know, you know, this is what I've been doing, but this is how I've done it. And I shared that. Within a couple of months, I had quite a few subscribers that I started to think I could make money out of this.
Yes.
So I left that one for free and I sat down and said, well, here's the four other topics that I think I could write about. And one was about getting gigs. One was about being financially independent as a musician. One was about record labels. And there was another one as well. And I put all these, I wrote all of them basically and started selling them on my website with a PayPal button for $19.95.
Okay.
And within a few months, I had about 8,000 subscribers, and I was generating 3 sales per book per day, so 15 sales per day.
Wow.
At $20 a piece, which was way more than I would ever make doing like 3 or 4 gigs a week.
Yes. Business.
That was fascinating for me.
Oh, man, it's utterly fascinating. Good for you for being so acting so aggressively and seeing the concept and then modifying it to your own needs.
Right, right, thanks. I think that's the most important thing, that it's very, especially today, I mean, I find that so many people still hold back on starting online when you don't even have to learn Dreamweaver, HTML, and CSS because you have lead pages.
Or precisely, WordPress. Precisely.
And it's so quick and easy to do stuff these days.
Exactly.
But at that time, I you know, this was great and it was working well. It took about 5 years in the total of that business. We can go to as much detail as you want, really, but I can jump in and out of whatever you want to ask. But I think the critical thing was I didn't stop my studies. I completed my degree in genetics while all this was going on, which I thought was a big thing. My parents, I don't think, knew what I was doing even at that point. But yeah, I was always on the internet and stuff and doing stuff. I don't think really knew what I was getting at until a couple of years after.
Amazing, amazing. Well, this is a very fascinating story. Let's take a step back and let's go into the issue that the show is built on, which is, as you and I have discussed, most people have a hard time finding what I call their sweet spot. They're interested in genetics, they're interested in music, they're interested in all kinds of things, internet marketing, but they can't seem to land on it or they can't follow their instincts to get where they want to get. Why do they get balled up or why do they get stuck and they aren't able to make it to a place where they can have freedom and live life on their own terms? What do you think?
Are you talking about creative people or are you talking about anybody, really?
You know what? I'm talking about anybody. I'm talking about anybody. Around the world, it's 86%, some staggering figure. In the United States, land of opportunity, which in many ways it is, it's in the 70 percentiles of people. If you say, are you using your talents at work every day, according to Gallup and other big survey firms, they say, no.
Wow.
I'm not.
Yeah, shocking. I never knew that statistic, actually.
Yeah.
What I think is quite fascinating is all of this requires a leap of faith. Like, you have to have faith that you can jump over the little bit of fear that's holding you back from doing what you truly can to achieve something. That's the first thing. Of course, everybody's situations are different. Some people have duties financially and some people have duties from a family perspective, which is keeping them stuck doing what it is they're doing, even if they're not enjoying that they have to fulfill. But I don't believe it's impossible for everybody to turn around and do that. And I think the other reason really is that at the end of the day, we all need to believe in ourselves. And sometimes for some reason, whether someone's knocked us down or not, we just allow ourselves to be led by what other people believe about us, that it completely ruins us.
Yes.
When it's the only person that really matters, without being so selfish, but the only person that really matters about what we believe about ourselves. And at the end of the day, when we look back at our life, I believe the only person that really is going to judge ourselves on how we lived our lives is ourselves. And if we sit back and say, well, I'm not going to do what it is that really I have a true talent for because of what that person thinks of me or what this person says about me or what everybody in that group will think about me, then we're only just letting ourselves down.
We totally are. So what would you say to people that are listening right now saying, yeah, he's right, that makes sense? What would you say? How would you help them get over that hump?
The first thing is to just do a little bit of it. The first quick action step. I mean, what is it that you're really good at? Like, what is it that you excel at? That, you know, sometimes you're so good at it that you feel so much joy from it that the whole day is gone and you haven't even remembered breakfast, lunch, and dinner. How many times, if I ask myself the number of times that I skip a meal, now it's really bad. I'm not advising anyone to skip a meal, but the number of times I skip a meal because not because I'm intentionally skipping a meal, just because hours and hours have gone by and I've absolutely fallen in love with what I've done that I feel so energized. If you can find something that does that for you,
Yes.
Truly, that allows you to wake up and feel, I want to go and do that, because if I did that, I would be way happier.
Yes.
Then you have to find half an hour of a day and do it every single day initially.
Yes.
It doesn't have to make you money so far. So initially, just do it, because
yes.
the moment you start seeing that you can do it and you can enjoy it and you can consistently enjoy it, then how to make money will fall into your lap.
Yes, you couldn't be more right. The psychologist at the University of Chicago wrote a book 15 years ago called Flow, F-L-O-W, and
right.
that's exactly what you're talking about. That's exactly what you're talking about.
The whole thing about it is that it just energizes. I see myself and I see so many other people. If I spent the amount of time that I'm doing right now in my work, which I don't even think about it as work, but if I spend that time doing what I'm doing right now in a job that I hated, I would go back every day home completely drained, not even able to get up the couch and not even able to eat healthy food or feel like I can go out and celebrate with friends or exercise. I would be so drained. But because I'm putting that time into something that really excites me, it is a talent, it is a skill that I have, of course, but more importantly, it gives me joy.
Yes.
And if everyone could find that thing, I also believe, by the way, Don, that I don't think it has to be a talent and skill. I think it could be something that I really want to learn. So say you love skiing and you just love the idea of being up in the mountains and on snow because there's really no other feeling like it. And a lot of people experience that. You may not be the excellent skier that you might want to be one day at this point, but if you devote a little bit of time to study every single day how to be better at that craft that you want to be better at, I still think that gives you enough joy that you could say one day this will work for me in terms of generating income as well.
I think that's a brilliant insight. I think that's exactly right. So, Cavett, what have been the most tangible deliverables, takeaways, benefits for you following your instincts, being interested in something, carrying it out, doing it well? How has your life been enhanced?
What do you mean specifically? Like, give me an example.
Well, I mean, the quality of your life, the work life that you have. You say you don't feel like you work every day because you're doing stuff that you love. So what are the benefits in terms of your physically, emotionally, spiritually, intellectually, financially? What are the benefits to you?
Everything.
Okay.
100%.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't imagine life without doing what I'm doing right now. Like, I don't believe that this is my end game. So I don't believe, like, the actual project that I'm working on right now is my end game. But I do believe the way I'm working, the people I'm working for, the benefit that I'm bringing to them, that's what excites me every day. Like, seeing people literally find their freedom because they're pushing through an idea and allowing them to see the results and benefits that they can gain because of what they're doing, thankful because of the experiences that I've gained. That's exciting for me. My health is a lot better. I go to, you know, for example, I practice yoga a lot. I spend a lot of time doing yoga. I go to classes for yoga. I can go to classes whenever I want, whoever I want to, you know, like at whatever time of the day I want to. I travel 4 months out of the year generally. All of these things are elements of freedom that I'm benefiting from because of me doing my talent, although it could be. But my talent doesn't have to be 9 to 5. In fact, it's usually more, but a consistent thing all the way around. As long as I'm doing it, I'm reaping rewards. And by the way, I've also found that when I'm doing something that's related to my work, but not directly related to my talent, skill, or passion or joy, I enjoy that way a lot less. And I also earn a lot less from that because of the energy and enthusiasm that goes into it.
Yes, yes, precisely. So if you had to boil down for our listeners around the world, just you've given us many, many insights, but if you had to boil down two or three things that are the lessons that you would share with listeners about the topic at hand, what would you say?
First of all, I believe that every single one of us is, as I said at the beginning, not living our greatest potential. And I think if there's any time that we really owe it to ourselves to lift our game, lift our craft, lift who we are as people, lift our belief system about what's possible, really believe that we can do what we love more than anything else, then I think there's no better time than right now.
Yes.
That's for sure. And I think that we live in an age full of opportunity, like unbelievable amount of opportunity drops on our desks, in our inboxes, in our newspapers, in our media, in our little communities every single day.
Yes.
And one of the other things is I push myself to make sure that the opportunities that I want are showing up for me. And the way I do that is by taking action. Like, if you're out there, if there's anyone out there that's got this incredible talent and they're not using it, they're not utilizing it well enough, they're not sharing it with other people, even I'm not talking about money making, I'm just talking about talent.
Yes.
Then you need to make yourself have more opportunities for you to see those things pop up. So find people that will benefit from your talents and go to them and say, you know what, I think this would really benefit you. Do you mind if I share this thing? Or go to meetup.com and find meetups in your local area or start meetups in your local area around your topic. And you'll find incredibly large numbers of people that are interested in what it is that you have to share, what skill you have. You don't have to go there just to blow a trumpet and share about what it is that you do, but you have to go there to participate, because as you participate in things that are of interest to you and areas that you have talent to you, opportunities will show up and then 100% grasp the right opportunities for you.
Yes.
Like, don't see them go by, because so many people for years and years have opportunities that are in their passions or talents or skill sets that they just don't say yes to.
Yes.
And instead they say yes to things that really don't matter as much.
Yes,
and
precisely.
That's like one of the saddest things that I find about life.
Yes, so do I. I agree with you. Had there been a seminal book that you like or resources that you'd briefly recommend?
Oh, there are so many. But this one book that I think from a business perspective, as well as utilizing my talents and skills perspective, that I think everybody really should get and read. It's by Jay Abraham, and it's called Getting Everything You Can Out of All You've Got.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, that's a great title, isn't it? That's what you've been saying.
Right. Exactly.
So what do you see happening in your life in the next couple of years? Because you're certainly a strategic thinker. Where are you headed?
I think that I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing at the moment. I think that's a big, big part of my ideas. I also feel, however, that, you know, my vision in life is that the only people that can really, truly change the world, I believe, are entrepreneurs.
Yes.
And every single entrepreneur has within them the power to take an idea and really like share it with the world, share it with the people that really, truly need it. And an entrepreneur is successful. They build a team of customers or a pool of customers, a team of staff and families of those staff and customers that all benefit from the work that one entrepreneur decides to do because of his or her vision.
Yes.
And that's a lot of people that really impacted, a whole small community of people that could be impacted. And so I want more entrepreneurs to succeed. And I'm not just talking about entrepreneurs that are in the West. I'm talking about entrepreneurs that maybe are in underprivileged societies in little villages that know how to sew, that know how to educate, that know how to do great work. And I'm really racking my brain trying to figure out ways that I think more people like us could be helping more people like them to be and shine better.
Yeah, I love that idea. I see other entrepreneurs setting up foundations and doing promotions that build schools and entrepreneurial-oriented educational facilities. I could not agree with you more. What are you proudest of, Cobbett?
Wow. I'm definitely proud of quite a few things, but I always believe that the moment you feel like you're a master is the beginning of your whole journey, unfortunately. And so I'm proud of the fact that I'm constantly learning. I'm proud of the fact that I push myself to read even when I don't want to read, although I love reading. Or sometimes when I go through months when I don't read and I feel really guilty of not studying. So my proudest moment, I guess, if you like, or my proudest sense of my life is the fact that I'm continuously learning.
Yes, excellent. Well, Cobbett Harriott, what a great pleasure being with you today. We appreciate you sharing the highlights of your amazing journey, and I know that listeners around the world have learned lessons that will help them on theirs. So how do those listeners connect with you?
Yeah, that's very kind. My website is www.insider, that's I-N-S-I-D-E-R, insiderinternetsuccess.com, and you can definitely go check us out there. Just to highlight a couple of things on there that you might see a little option for you to check out some success stories of people like you, hopefully, that have taken ideas, skills, talents, and stories that they've experienced in their life and turned them into viable, successful businesses and projects on the web. So hopefully that will give you some inspiration.
Good.
And of course, if anybody wants to have a chat with me, they're most welcome to do so. On the website, we have an opportunity for a business strategy session that really dives into what we've been talking about here individually and maybe chart a plan for somebody.
Oh, superb. Listeners know you can go to discoveryourtalentpodcast.com and go to the podcast section and put in Cobbett Harriott's name, and you'll find a summary of this fine interview along with these connection points. So they're right there for you to access. I want to thank listeners across the world for joining us today. We have a infographic, What Do Highly Successful People Actually Do to Succeed? 12 Proven Career Building Strategies to Help You Do What You Love, which we've compiled of the great men and women thinkers since the beginning of time, actually, who have given us lessons that are impactful today that millions of people have used. So we've had great feedback to this. It's all free. It's very illuminating, and I hope you'll take advantage of it. You can also subscribe for free on iTunes and Stitcher. If you like interviews like this, by all means, join our tribe. We'd like to know how to serve you better. In closing, every one of us is born with unique talents and gifts. We don't learn them. We cannot ignore them. They're just a part of who we are, our DNA. Whenever we discover them and use them in our lives and careers, we do not merely survive. We thrive in every way possible. So until next time, all my best, and whatever you do, have fun out there today.